Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
According to the World Wildlife Fund's 2006 Living Planet Report, humans are consuming the planet's resources 25% faster than the Earth can renew them. And that rate is unprecedented, I believe, in our history. And if we keep that up, we'll need two planets' worth of natural resources by the middle of the 21st century. In October, Wisconsin Trails asked its readers if they were worried about global warming changing the face of Wisconsin, and one reader commented, don't worry about things you can't change. Well, that's a question. Can we make changes in our lives that are meaningful, and can we make a difference? And I think that's sort of a challenge that was taken up by the folks at Wisconsin Trails magazine. Harriet Brown is with us now. She's editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. She's an award-winning poet and writer. And the February 2007 issue of Wisconsin Trails is titled The Conservation Issue. And it includes lots of things: green design, green people, eco municipalities, ways to live greener, and encourages you to take their conservation challenge up. So we'll be talking about those challenges with her today. And certainly if you want to join in with your own comments or questions, what are you doing maybe to help in this whole process? We'd like to hear about that as well. Give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Harriet Brown, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Nice to have you back here. This is a sort of, in a way, a kind of a departure from the normal Wisconsin Trails, quote-unquote normal, Wisconsin Trails issue, is it not?
Yes, it is. We've been doing we've been sort of exploring the world of theme issues, mm-hmm. and as soon as we started talking about that, I knew that I wanted us to do a green issue. It's a departure in terms of how we're presenting it, but it's really right along with our mission, which is to promote stewardship of Wisconsin's mm-hmm. natural resources and to help people celebrate and enjoy everything that's good about Wisconsin. So that is our aim here, and that comment that you can't change things, you know, so why worry about it or just throw your hands up in despair? I mean, that's something we all feel. And we set out to kind of explore and see, were there ways that we could help people feel a little bit more empowered, a little bit more like they were part of the process and the dialogue and they could do things to make a difference? And I think that you absolutely can. And we tried mm-hmm. to come up with some stories about people and groups around the state who are doing incredibly inspiring things, and then also some concrete suggestions and our conservation challenge.
Well, you say this issue is kind of a wake-up call, but it's also sort of a message of hope.
Yeah, that's the idea, yeah.
We can create a climate of change in this.
We absolutely can. I mean, there's nothing worse than feeling powerless. And I don't believe that we are. I think each and every one of us, you know, can do things personally. But more than that, in the bigger picture, as a community, I mean, for example, we have a fantastic story in this issue by Eric Ness on what Washburn and Ashland have become, the first eco-municipalities. And, you know, they're setting a long-range plan into place. They're looking ahead. What's going to come in the next 15 years? What can we do in our communities to try to slow down, you know, climate change, to try to improve our conservation stewardship? And they've come up with a lot of ways. And I think mm-hmm. that there's a lot of communities around the state, actually, that are getting on the natural step bandwagon, signing up in the process of becoming eco-municipalities. So it's great.
Could you give us an example of maybe one thing that they've thought about doing?
It's all kinds of things from, you know, improving the bus system so that to encourage people to take public transportation, to, you know, how does the municipality dispose of waste, you know, it's really like the sublime to the ridiculous, the personal to the public. And I think that all of those things are important, but more important is the vision that comes with it. The vision of we're in this together and let's look at this together and let's have a public dialogue and not just always be looking at, you know, this next election, this bottom line, this, you know, legal challenge today. Let's really try to look ahead.
Yeah, and it is a really an interesting story. And there's another story you have, actually, it's kind of a little series of things on green building.
Yes, which is very hot right now.
John Ivanko's got an article, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, John Ivanko from In Serendipity. And, green building is very big all over the country right now, and Wisconsin is one of the leaders in green building practices. And, you know, something I learned from the article, I always thought, well, green building can't affect me because I'm not building a house. You know, I'm living in a house that's 85 years old, but you can actually renovate green, too. So we looked at a couple of places that around the state that are green buildings or that are, you know, renovating green, and then just kind of looking at the whole movement, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Harriet Brown, our guest editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine, as we talk with her about the February issue of Wisconsin Trails, it's the conservation issue. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it or comment on it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with some questions and comments. I think he had four examples, did he not,
yeah.
John?
Yeah, we did.
Talk a little about that.
Well, the first one was the Aldo Leopold Legacy Center, which is, you know, it's sort of the natural extension of Leopold's shack, you know, if you kind of look back to 1935 when he put up the shack. But this is being built with pine trees that Aldo Leopold and his family planted 80 years ago, which is a very cool thing. And, you know, plus it's got solar, it's got, it has a net zero energy budget, you know, meaning that, you know, it's not spending more than it's creating, which is a pretty cool concept, I think. So that's one place, and I think the folks at the Aldo Leopold Foundation are very excited about that. He also looked at a program called SolarWise for Schools, which is basically helps install solar, you know, photovoltaic systems on top of high school classrooms and buildings. And also there's a sort of curricular component so that it's not just something that goes on top of a building, but it educates kids to why it's important. They help maintain the systems. I think it's kind of, you know, educating the next generation of responsible energy consumers. It's pretty great.
Yeah, and that's why actually one of the best ways, I think, to learn about something is to really get them involved, people involved in the actual, you know, not just knowing that up on top of the roof there's some solar systems there, but actually getting involved in the whole process.
That's right. I mean, it's a human trait to sort of learn by doing and also, you know, to take ownership of something. I mean, I think for these kids, it's a really fantastic thing. They really feel ownership of it. And, you know, maybe they're more likely to go off and put solar on their home when they buy a house. And John looked at a private home, the Ramlow Residence, which is a straw bale construction. And then finally, we looked at Beloit College, which is building a new science center that's...
It looks fantastic.
Yes, it does. I can't wait to see it when it actually opens, which is not for another year and a half. But it looks fantastic.
And they're using everything pretty much green. There won't be that new smell, I think, as it says in the...
The new building smell,
The new building smell won't be there.
Yeah, there's a lot of what they call, I think it's low VO paints, and, you know, they don't emit as many fumes, and the fumes aren't as toxic, and so it's all better for the people inside as well as for the environment all around.
So that's a great article. And then you've got something about, Erica Janik.
Yes. She did a piece on Travel Green, which, you know, is the state of Wisconsin is visionary in a lot of ways. And our Department of Tourism is really looking ahead and thinking about how can we promote travel that's more sustainable and greener. And so they've come up with the Travel Green Wisconsin program, which basically certifies businesses. And there's a whole range of sort of criteria that a business has to meet in a variety of, you know, everything from how they communicate with their sort of promotional materials. Mm-hmm. Do they promote green travel to, you know, how do they handle water, air quality, energy efficiency, waste reduction, and all that stuff. And so, yeah, there's about, when we went to press, there were about 30 businesses that were certified around the state. And I'm guessing that number's going to be just jumping up because something that you can do that, you know, tourists recognize too. So it's valuable.
Just a question about the putting this together. It must have been kind of fun, but a little daunting task to try and put together all the different pieces that you put together in this magazine.
You know, there's so much going on around Wisconsin. I mean, we've always had a sort of high awareness of environmental issues, and I was really flabbergasted by the number of people and organizations. I mean, we could have put out an issue five times the size. You know, because there's just so many people working on it. I felt it was hard to make choices. I didn't want to make people feel like we were leaving them out. But there's some really exciting stuff going on, and I'm hoping that, and I think that this is an area where we will be sort of in the vanguard, and that's exciting.
So you're going to keep this theme and maybe have another issue sometime down the road with it that talks about the same thing?
It's possible. You know, so far our readers have really responded very enthusiastically. I think it's the cover, too. It's a pretty different cover for us. So.
You know, it is a really different cover for you. It's sort of, well, not trick photography. Yeah, I suppose you could call it that.
It's with Photoshop heavy.
Photoshop heavy of a look at the world and someone's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose those hands are our hands.
That's right. Your hands and my hands.
Harriet Brown, our guest today, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. And we're talking with her about the February issue. Certainly, if you have questions about things that you can do in the conservation area or about the issue itself. And we'll obviously get off into some other things as well because there's lots of events and things going on we want to talk about as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Talking about some of the challenges of keeping Wisconsin green today with our guest Harriet Brown of Wisconsin Trails magazine. As I mentioned, their February issue is titled The Conservation Issue and includes lots of things: green design, green people, eco municipalities, 25 ways to live greener, and encourages us all to take their conservation challenge. And we haven't talked about that conservation challenge, and I certainly want to get into that as well. If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. Now, let's take a couple calls. Wenzel in Amherst, it's your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and guest. I was pleasantly surprised with that conservation issue, and I live within a few miles of the Ramlo home, and they also had converted a barn, which I'm not sure if that was mentioned, but I was just in there yesterday, you know, on a cold, ornery day, and those, they have radiant heat in the floors, and it's an awesome environment, and pretty attainable for the average person, I think, especially, you know, if they want to start that way. And a couple comments, and then I'll take my the responses off the air.
Sure.
But my mom's got a 1940s house that is going to go on the market pretty quick, and it somehow was, you know, some upgrades energy wise, but you know, I'm looking at the windows that should be replaced and several other things in there. So, and we own a 1870s building that we just stuck a whole solar hot water heater on the roof. So yeah, the idea that this is, you know, out of the reach of the average people for you know, saving some energy. And one last thing, that renewable energy fair over here at Custer just opened my eyes, and so much this last summer that anybody gets a chance to go, I think they would really enjoy it, as well as come out quite much greener than they went in.
Yeah.
So thanks for the program.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And comments, Harriet?
Well, it's absolutely true. Energy fair that he was talking about, the Midwest Renewable Energy Association's Renewable Energy and Sustainable Living Fair, is June 15th through 17th in Custer. They have it every year. They have
a
website.
Great place.
It is. And the website is the-MREA.org. And, you know, I think that's exactly right, especially as the cost of energy goes up. You know, it's not just a sort of altruistic thing. I mean, it can really make a difference to your own bottom line,
mm-hmm.
too.
And the Ramlo residence, as you were saying, is quite a fantastic place.
Oh, I know. I'm longing to put radiant heat into my house, but I'm not sure it's possible.
Let's go to Linda in Oshkosh next. Linda, hi to you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I wanted to see if the straw bale houses were really practical for Wisconsin in terms of, you know, the various temperatures that we have, and as far as longevity as compared to wood, and, you know, if this is really a good idea for Wisconsin. And mm-hmm. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, I think it is. I mean, the Ramlos are not the only people in the state who have done this. I think it's a fairly popular thing, and I think if you would like more information on it, I don't have any at hand, but I think you could start by getting in touch with the Wisconsin Environmental Initiative. I don't have a URL for them, but I think they would be pretty easy to find. And there's also the Wisconsin Green Building Alliance, and I think they'd be able to give you some information, too.
You get a lot of information from the Wisconsin Green Building Alliance, for sure.
Yeah.
So it'd be something to look at, Linda. Thank you. And certainly is viable.
Absolutely.
Here in the state. Let's take some more calls. If you want to join, we have some open lines so you can get on to it. 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Cynthia in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Great. This is a wonderful show. I wanted to mention some things that I think people don't always think of maybe when they're remodeling their home. My husband and I decided to put an addition on our older Victorian home a few years ago and to make it more accessible. And we had a tiny kitchen at the time, that small little cabinets which my husband had built, and countertop and sink. And but we still, I do interior design work, and when I like something, I like it forever. And so what we did was we thought, how could we reuse these cabinets and the tile on our flooring, which was a heavy-duty porcelain kind of commercial tile, and we still liked the color. And so we painstakingly took up all of the tile and stacked it, and we took out the kitchen cabinet and countertop and the good LK sink we had put in 10 years before that, and saved them and put them into an art studio that we were building upstairs. And we haven't laid the tile in that floor yet, but we took half of the tile and put it in an under stairway storage area that we're going to use to keep, like, potatoes and vegetables and things like that in, mm-hmm. because we put hardwood floor through the rest of our kitchen. And we just thought, you know, we'll reuse these. They laid down just as good as they ever did. They clean up just as good as they ever did. And the sink upstairs, we were thrilled to keep it because, like I said, my husband had built it. But also, we just thought it's a few, you know, fewer things to be hauling off to the dump. So I would encourage people that if you do, you know, have to do something with your home, you certainly can recycle some of the things that you have if they're still in good condition. And then the one last thing I wanted to add was that we also needed to restore the outside of our home, but I am just anti-vinyl anything. I know all vinyl siding is going to end up in a landfill someday, and it's not going to break down. So we decided we wanted the narrow lap siding look, but we went and put concrete siding on the house, which will outlive us and go on to the next mm-hmm. generation. And basically, people think, oh, you're going to have to paint it. Well, yes, but it will never flake off. The paint will fade eventually, but you also mm-hmm. don't have paint flaking off into the environment. And I think that's another really good thing that people should look at, instead of let's slap a bunch of vinyl on top of everything and stick vinyl windows in. And the other thing is, we had all of the 2x2 Victorian windows. We either rebuilt them, or we had a friend and a construction company or lumber company rebuild the sashes, and we took all the icky aluminum storms somebody else had put on and had all the wooden ones rebuilt and put on. And it's actually, our house is actually warmer and cozier, plus it looks better because it's authentic to the period. So those are some things I think people don't always think of. They think, oh, you know, let's throw some vinyl siding on, cover up a problem, and send the old stuff to the dump. And if you do something thoughtfully, hopefully down the road, you're not only going to save yourself some money and have an aesthetically more beautiful product, but you're not sending something to the landfill and taking up more green. So I'll get off now and let some other people call in.
Well, let me give you a little clap here. Good job, Cynthia.
Well, thanks so much, and I hope it's some tips for some other people. I think sometimes people just think, let's throw that out. We don't like it, or we like it, but let's get it out of here, and they could be reusing it. So yeah.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. That's the mantra of conservationists.
Thank you so much for any comment on her, on what Cynthia's.
You go, girl.
Yeah, she's done a wonderful job, and she and her husband are doing a wonderful job and saving some money, too. It's not just a question of saving the environment. Sometimes you can save a lot of money that way, too.
Well, and more that's true because, you know, because energy costs are going up.
Thanks again. Appreciate it very much. Greg in Jefferson County, let's go to you now. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Larry. Hi, guest. See, I just wanted to say how excited I was about the issue in the Natural Step Eco-Municipality movement. That's really something that I think has great potential in our society these days because as your guest, Harriet Brown. As you alluded to, it's more of a vision thing, and I'd like to expound on that. It's more of a process for change. Then it has a very democratic participatory process. So people are encouraged to participate, and you get a lot of good ideas. The more people you get involved, usually the better ideas and solutions you'll come up with. And it incorporates some systems conditions for scientific evaluation as to whether or not your acts are sustainable. And it's not that it tells you what to do, but it helps you understand whether or not what you are doing is truly scientifically sustainable. And that's what we need, I believe, in our government, in our institutions, in our families, and it is a way to critically evaluate whether or not what we are doing is going to be permanent in the long term.
And, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with political party either. Politics really shouldn't come into play in an issue like this because it's about saving the environment is also about saving money, being more efficient. There are all kinds of pluses that whether you're a Republican or Democrat or Green Party candidate or wherever you're from, you can latch on to.
And that's one of the cool things about this whole initiative because it's, you know, they're evenly split up there between Republicans and Democrats on the city council and they got consensus participation and, you know, both sides came together. I'm sorry to mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. More often than not, the municipalities that adopt these resolutions, adopting the systems conditions, they're adopting essentially a framework and a commitment to look into it, to open their minds or open their perspectives, to take a more holistic view of what they are doing, and they generally end up much more in the black. It's a little bit upfront, but it pays for itself because you're taking a long-term investment in your future.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And again, just for if you were tuning in late, we were earlier, Harriet was talking about a couple of communities, and that's what Greg was talking about, too. Eric Ness of wrote an article for Wisconsin Trails for the February issue on the activities of Ashland and Washburn in declaring themselves eco-municipalities. And Eric writes about what's that all about, what are the principles, and so forth. And Greg is sort of commenting and echoing, seconding, I guess we could say, that this is a great idea for not only Washburn and Ashland, but for a lot of other communities as well. Thanks again. I really appreciate it. Mike in Brookfield, let's go to you next. Mike, hello.
Hi. Hello. Good afternoon. I just wanted to make a comment on your recent caller about the cement tiles.
Yes.
A lot of times people, you know, think that perhaps one action helps to actually save the environment. But, you know, in some realities, the cement that needs to be repainted every few years, you know, they're releasing the gases into the atmosphere every time they repaint. You know, the manufacture of the cement tiles releases carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which helps to heat up the global warming. There aren't necessarily, just simply because they're cement tiles that they're better. It's one thing about looking at all aspects of something they're about to do. Is it truly better, or is it just appear that way on the surface? But if you really look in depth, perhaps those cheaper vinyl tiles, require less energy to produce in the first place, which is why they're cheaper. They never need to be repainted, so you're using less resources throughout the decades. And, even if you do have to replace the tile, the vinyl, in 50 years, that may actually be a cheaper, more environmentally sound thing to do than these cement tiles. So it's
there's trade-offs, as you're saying.
Sure. It can be complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. Harriet, comment.
It's like the diaper debate, right? What's better for the environment, cloth diapers or disposables? And on the surface, it seems like it would absolutely be cloth diapers. But, there's some question about it, I guess, if you dig deep. But I think that's why environmentalists talk, or, ordinary people talk about reducing your environmental footprint. Because, we live on this planet and we do use things, we do, just by our existence, we cause reactions that we have no idea of. So, again, I think that's why the Natural Step is such a great program. It encourages us to look at it from all sides, to look holistically and think about what is your effect on, systems, not just what do you put up, vinyl siding or concrete siding. But, to look deeper, because it's true, especially there's a lot of marketing and promotion around doing things green, and some of that is just on the surface. So very good point.
Mm-hmm. Very good points. And just a point back on the painting, as you were talking about earlier, now we have paints that are
low VO.
Low VO, which are much better at not emitting those kinds of things into the atmosphere. So there's so many things to always to have to consider. But I appreciate your comments very much, Mike. And if you'd like to comment, or raise an issue or a question, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. I do want to mention, before we take another call, you are proposing a conservation challenge to your readers, and I think it's kind of a neat thing, and talk about that.
Yeah, well, part of putting this issue together, we really wanted to give people a lot of information, a lot of resources, so they could go, look into the things they wanted to look into. But I also wanted to give people two things. One was a very concrete, specific way to do something together with us to make a difference. Because, mm-hmm. The readership of Wisconsin Trails is its own community, a kind of virtual community. And I thought, I wish there was a way we could all get together and do something. So we came up with a challenge. We're partnering with the National Arbor Day Foundation. And in the February issue, we have a little coupon that people can cut out and send in. And basically, you can join the National Arbor Day Foundation, and your membership fee will go toward planting trees in the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. You can either get 10 trees for yourself and plant 10 up north, or you can just have your whole membership go toward planting 20 trees up north. And our goal is we'd like to plant 1,000 trees altogether. Mm-hmm. I think we're up to about 360 right now. So
readers have already jumped on this a little bit.
They have. And if we can get enough together, we might be able to sponsor a work day up in the forest and sort of create a sense of, a little bit of ownership for some of us toward keeping Wisconsin sustainable. And the other piece of our challenge is I thought, I was thinking New Year's resolutions, how we all make them. So we made up this little form, and we're challenging people to, voluntarily pledge to change one or more things in their life in the coming year, and write it down, because writing things down really makes them sort of stick mm-hmm. better. Cut it out, put it up on your fridge, send us a copy. We're actually going to be publishing a couple of good ones in our next issue, and probably following it through the year. What are you doing? What just one thing Mm-hmm. Turning off the water when you brush your teeth and clean the counters.
Mm-hmm.
Unplugging electronic things that have those LED displays when you're not using them. Little things like that. You know, you can do that, you know, mm-hmm. and it's a way to kind of help people remember that they can make a difference.
And there are 25 things that you mentioned. And, you know, and as I looked at those things, I'm happy to note that we, in our own family, have done some of those things.
Yeah.
Replacing light bulbs and things of that nature that are easy enough to do. They don't cost anything, really, to make those changes.
No, a lot of it's habit.
A lot of it's just...
changing your habits.
Changing your habits. There's 25 different things. So... We'll put that out as a challenge, and as you mentioned in your challenge, the cost to join and to have those trees planted is pretty minimal.
$15.
$15.
Yeah.
And that gets you 20 trees planted somewhere?
Absolutely. I did it. You can do it too. Come on, Larry. I want to see your membership coming across my desk.
I'll send mine in too. I will definitely send mine in. As a matter of fact, I promise you.
Okay.
You'll get my check for $15.
All right.
All right. Jim in Wales, Wisconsin, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hello, and thank you so much for the show. I just wanted to mention this Friday we spent an evening at the Arbor House in Madison,
mm-hmm.
and it's an environmentally friendly inn, and we had just a wonderful time, and they do all kinds of environmentally friendly things to keep their business going. And it was just wonderful, and the two people that own it are John and Kathy Imes,
mm-hmm.
and they're just...
They're great people, aren't they?
They are. They're just, they're so engaged, they're so... So I just wanted to give a quick call to let people know that that's available, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to spend an evening or a weekend or whatever.
Thanks very much for calling. And you have, actually, if I'm not mistaken, a list of places in the magazine or...
Yeah, we write about 5 places, and that is definitely one of them. So to find out the other ones, these are 5 places around the state where, you know, they are environmentally friendly. That's a big mm-hmm. part of their mission, and they definitely exist.
So pick up a copy of the magazine, and you'll find not only the place that Jim mentioned, but 4 other places as well that mm-hmm. are doing that, and there are others in the state as well. Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And let's see, who's next? Al in La Crosse, I think, is next. Al, hi to you.
Hi. Yeah, the quick comment is that cement actually takes a lot of fossil fuel to produce, so it's not necessarily an answer, but... You know, you can do all these little things, but if you take one vacation in an airplane, you've probably used up all of your whole lifetime supply of turning off the little power sources. But the other thing is, though, that there hasn't been any comment that I've heard about talking to people like, for example, Herb Kohl, who still refuses to get on board with increasing fuel standards for automobiles and light trucks. You know, I mean, the legislation, I don't think that Republican or Democratic Party either gets it in terms of the actual seriousness of the problem, and they're just not moving fast enough or serious enough in terms of a direction, legislative direction, to influence these things in a dramatic and drastic way. And it, for all the power savings that I might advocate along with you in these small steps, at the same time, there are major and massive things that are going to have to be done, and I don't think the legislators really get it.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and that's why our 25 ways to save the planet, number 25 is speak up, contact, you know, your legislators and government agencies, mm-hmm. because I think a groundswell is really building right now. I think this is sort of a time when it's, you know, people all over the country are kind of coming together around this, and I think we're ripe for that kind of change in the next few years, and it better be soon.
It better be soon. Good points, Al. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. That's, as Harriet said, that's one of the 25 ways to help save the planet, and that may be the most important one in some respects. It certainly is for some people. I'm certain of that. Harriet, a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Harriet Brown, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. And the conservation issue is the February 2007 issue. I've had a chance to look at it. It's a wonderful issue. Take a look at it and drop Harriet a note and fill out that little blank and that form and send her the $15 and take up the conservation challenge. I'll be doing that. I hope you will, too. It's an easy way to help. And thank you all for listening. Tomorrow we'll talk about alternative medicine a little bit and some other things as well here on the Ideas Net.